Jeff and David and Randy can tell you I am so, so excited about this lesson. I want to thank Hunter for the great job he did just a moment ago. Miss Diane asked us today at lunch if our messages would be connected in some way, because last time they weren't, and I'll be honest, they're not. And so we're going to change gears. We're going to move from Revelation over to the book of Psalm. If you have your Bible, Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8. In 2018, I started dating a girl named Lauren, a girl that happens to be here tonight visiting from Alabama. And I want you to know something about Lauren. Lauren loves the moon and the stars. She loves the space museums, the rocket centers, the missions about NASA and their experiences in space. And I'll be honest, up until we started dating, I had absolutely no interest or fascination with anything up. And because of this, I was missing something that Lauren had. Because when we look up, we're forced to come to some realizations about who God is and who we are. Looking up forces us to ask two fundamental questions that I want to focus on tonight. The first is, when we look up, we're forced to ask, how big is God? We have to ask ourselves, how big is our God? That's a fundamental piece of each and every one of our worldviews, isn't it? The answer to that question in reality is different for each and every one of us here in this building. And because there's this vast differences in our beliefs of how big God is, meaning how enormous, how far-reaching, how powerful He is, there's a vast number of differences each and every one of us live and think. One author writes this: how big is your God? He poses that question to someone. How big is your God? Because the size of your God determines the size of everything else in your life. The author is certainly right. The way in which we view God's size and power will reshape everything else. But then we're forced to ask another question when we look up. That's how big is man? How big am I? When we look up and around, it will cause us to ask questions about how big or small we truly are in this universe that God has made. And that certainly will have implications in the way we live. I think about the mindset that culture is pushing, that I'm the center of my universe, that everything revolves around me. That in that case, the individual views themselves as large or important, and that will have implications in the way they live. Think about the spiritual implications of the way we view ourselves, either big or small, powerful, powerless, significant, insignificant. Would that impact the way in which we pray to God? Would that impact our dependency on Him? Would that impact the way in which we give attention to His commandments and the way in which we follow them? And so that brings us to the words of Psalm chapter 8 this evening. Psalm chapter 8. This will be the foundation of this lesson. Psalm chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. Psalm 8, beginning in verse 1. The psalmist says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. Verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God. You crown him with glory and majesty. You make him rule over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The psalmist comes to two very different realizations about who we are and who God is. David realizes better who the God is who created the universe and who he is. So let's walk through this psalm together, realizing who God is in comparison to who we are. I love how the psalmist describes God in this passage. In verses 1 through 3, he starts out by saying, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Some translations say, how wonderful, how excellent. And then in verse 2, he's depicted as a God of strength. Verse 2 says, from the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you establish strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. Meaning that God takes the weakest things and gives them a reason for praise. But he destroys his enemies and the revengeful with his strength. Think about what the psalmist is saying. The psalmist is saying that God is so strong that babies will survive and praise his name while the enemies of his people will die from his strength. And that's certainly a theme of the Bible, God's strength being more than the enemies of the world. Books come to mind like Joshua, battle after battle, showing that God doesn't lose because he's so strong, that the enemies of the world can't beat God. And you pay attention to the text when the people of Israel lose a battle. It's not this attitude from Israel, oh, well, we'll get them next time. It's not, well, you have to lose the battle in order to win the war, but it's complete and utter shock from the people of Israel because God doesn't lose, and it's always a result of sin. So the psalmist wants us to see God's strength in verse 2. But then we come to verse 3. Showing us that the psalmist wants us to focus on the creation of the God. Look at verse 1 before we get to verse 3. God who has displayed your splendor above the heavens. Verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Above all, the psalmist wants us to focus on creation because when David looks out at the creation that God has put on display, the moon and the stars, it hits him how majestic, how awesome, how great and powerful the God he serves is. The God who created him from the dust of the earth. Him looking at what God has displayed in the heavens and in the sky allows him to have a better realization of who God is and who he is. And so for a moment, can we just talk about the heavens, the sky, as the psalmist describes the work of God's fingers? What we're going to talk about changed my life and my faith forever. And I hope it has a similar effect on us tonight. In 2018, if you remembered, I mentioned I started looking up and failing to do this prior. What I was missing was it actually had hindered my faith and made my faith and my image of God suffer greatly. I had blinded myself to passages like Psalm chapter 8, talking about how when we think about God, the heavens that God has made, we can see who he is better. I had blinded myself to that. Or passages like Psalm 148 and verse 3, praise him. Sun and moon, praise him, all you shining stars. I'd blinded myself to passages from the Bible talking about the purpose behind God's creations, passages that we're familiar with, like Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. I blinded myself to passages like Jeremiah. Jeremiah 32 and verse 17, O Lord God, behold, you made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. So in 2018, I started looking up. I started looking at what God has put on display so that we can have a faith in his power. And the thing is, when we look up and we look around at his creation, it works. One author puts it this way, just one look at God's creation, one look at the universe reshapes everything in our life. And so in 2018, I started looking up, and around this time, I remember seeing a presentation called How Great is Our God, a presentation solely focused on showing the magnitude of who God is in comparison to ourselves. And so in the presentation, to show the magnitude of what the psalmist is saying in Psalm 3, he starts by saying, if the earth were the size of a golf ball, think about how small we must be in this illustration. 8 billion people on this golf ball. We must be the size of a particle of dust, if that, right? And what he'll do for his presentation to show the magnitude of what the psalmist is saying is he takes this golf ball, he takes our earth and shows the size of it to the glory that God has put on display in the cosmos. And so he begins his presentation talking about the star that inflicts this brutal Texas heat that I have come to hate here in Texas, and that's the sun. If the earth were the size of a golf ball, the sun would be a sphere 15 feet in diameter. Think about that. That number may seem small to you. If the earth were the size of a golf ball, that would be the size of the sun. It would take 960,000 earths, 960,000 golf balls to fill a sphere that large. Think about how small we must be in this illustration. A particle of dust on the speck in the universe. And while the sun is an amazing star, it doesn't even compare to the other stars found in our cosmos. Skipping ahead 45 minutes in his lecture, he introduces another star called Canis Majoris, better known as the Big Dog. That's what it means. In 2012, this was the largest star in the galaxy, and that's what it looks like. That small red dot in the middle of your screen isn't as small as it appears to be, because that small dot is 3,840 light years away from our golf ball. Put that in perspective, a light year is 6 trillion miles. So trillions and trillions and trillions of miles away from our Earth, you find Canis Majoris. If the Earth were the size of a golf ball, Canis Majoris would be the size of a sphere, the height and width of Mount Everest. Are we starting to feel small yet? Maybe it hasn't hit us. It certainly hit me at this point. But there's another star I want to bring to our attention in the galaxy. And that's a star that broke every record known to date. In 2020, they discovered a star named Stevenson 218. And it's so big, it's hard to wrap our minds around, because this star is found 19,000 light years away from our golf ball. Here's what it looks like. Stevenson 2:18. 19,000 light years away from our golf ball, you find this bright golden dot in the middle of your screen. If the earth were the size of a golf ball, it wouldn't be the size of Mount Everest. It wouldn't be the size of a 15-foot sphere. If the Earth were the size of a golf ball, Stevenson 218 would be the size of the planet Mercury in our solar system. Forget how many golf balls it could take to fill Stevenson 218. It would take 1 billion suns to fill this star. Are we starting to feel small yet? Here's all the stars put together on the screen. You have Stevenson 218 to your left, then Canis Majoris, then that small dot to your right that you may have trouble seeing. That's the sun. And the thing is, we couldn't put a dot small enough on the screen to the naked eye that would represent the size of the earth. So I'll say it once again, are we starting to feel small? Because we're the ones on the speck in the speck in the universe that God has made. But that's the point back in Psalm 8, just to see how big God is in comparison to we, the creation. He describes man in verse 4, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained," this is what David says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" His response to looking up, to looking up at the moon and the stars, is, "What is man?" When he looks up and he sees the moon and the stars, it hits him just how powerful the God of creation is in comparison to we, the creatures formed out of the dust of the earth. When David looked up and considered the greatness of the heavens, it made him consider the relative smallness and insignificance of man. The stars are big and we are small. The stars, the moon, scream glory and majesty while we transgress his name. So David wondered why such a big and awesome God would be mindful of such small beings in his creation, because we are just a speck. David wants to know why God would care about the speck in the speck, or the specks on the speck in the universe that he made. And can we appreciate King David coming to this realization, asking the question, what is man that you are mindful of him? This isn't like you or I asking that question, as we should and we'll talk about. This is the most powerful, the most glorified figure on the face of the planet saying, what is man, God, that you are mindful of me? The man who women would sing about. And 2 Samuel 18 and verse 7, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. The man who had a palace overlooking all the other homes in Jerusalem, 2 Samuel chapter 11, the man who God promised an eternal kingdom through his family, this man comes to the conclusion, what is man that you are mindful of him? Because regardless of who you are, regardless of what we've accomplished, when we look up, we realize in no way is God obligated to love us. In no way is he obligated to hear or listen or to care for us. We understand the distance between the Creator and the creation is vast beyond all measure. But when we read past verse 4, we come to some of the most comforting words of the Bible. In verse 4, despite us being nothing, despite us being a speck in the universe, verse 4 says, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? God cares about the speck on the speck. That's the point the psalmist is making here in Psalm 8. Continue reading with me in verse 5. How much does God care about us? It says in verse 5, Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, also the beasts of the fields, the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Despite us being so small, God makes us a little lower than himself. The psalmist says he gives us glory and majesty and authority in his creation. We need to remember that the culmination of the creation story is not God resting on the seventh day. It's not even God speaking things into existence. That's not the climax. That's not the shocking factor of the creation story. But it's God breaking the pattern of creation and making something in his image and giving that something authority in creation. Genesis 1 verse 26 says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over the livestock of all the earth, and over every crawling thing that crawls on the earth. So God created man in his image, in the image of God. He created them male and female. He created them. Verse 28 of Genesis chapter 1. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, of the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. That sounds like Psalm 8, doesn't it? Does that not put us in awe of God's love and care for us, that he's cared about us since the very beginning of creation? Job says it this way in Job 7 and verse 17 in one translation. God, why do you make people so important and you give them so much attention? I love that question by Job, because we aren't just some random dot in the universe to God, but he's mindful of each and every one of us, despite us not recognizing him for the God that he is. He makes us important here on this earth to himself. So important that he sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins. Not only does God care about us a little, like the way we might care for a pet or something in our possession, like a car, but he cares for us a lot, so much that he would give up his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. When we don't see him as the big, awesome God, when we turn our backs on him and we choose to live the way we want to live, he sent Jesus to die for us. John 3:16, a passage that we have become dull to. Listen to the words of John in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, the specks on the speck, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. We are so loved that the God who spoke a fireball, Stevenson 2:18, a fireball 2,000 times bigger than the sun into existence like that. We're so loved that the exact same God would lower himself taking the form of a man, being emptied, being beaten, being hung on the cross for our sins, all because of what the psalmist says. He is mindful of us. Does that not put us in awe of who God is? But the question we need to ask ourselves is, so what? We get that God's big, man small, he cares for us. But if we truly believe that, if we truly look up and come to that realization, it should have some implications in our life, like we began this sermon talking about. So can I offer three quick impacts that realizing who man is, who God is, and realizing how much he loves us should have in our life? The first is this. The first, it will impact our prayer. Realizing who God is will impact our prayer, because God has put his universe on display. His size and power become obvious. But I know for myself that I can blind myself to the size of God when these situations come up, when these valleys come in my life. I can blind myself to who God is. We have these situations that are enormous and stressful. And while we believe that there's a God, maybe a powerful God, we fail to realize how powerful he is. And we doubt if he's powerful enough. And so we don't pray. Or maybe we pray with the slightest doubt. But when we pray, we must understand who we are praying to. Instead of telling our God how big our problems are, perhaps we need to look at our problems and realize how big our God is in comparison. Proclaiming in our lives that he's not a God who might be able to fix our problems, not a God who needs time to figure it out, but he's the God who spoke the universe into existence by his very voice. We must never let the busyness of life and the stressfulness of situations diminish the size of God. But also we must come to the realization, as the psalmist does, what is man? We must understand who we are in comparison to God, realizing how great he is, how great he is in comparison to we, the creatures formed out of the dust of the earth. Sometimes we avoid prayer altogether because we view ourselves as the solution to the problem, but we must realize that he is more powerful than we can ever be. So it should influence our prayer, but also it should influence our worship. Realizing who God is should impact our worship. When we come together to worship, we are worshiping the creator of the universe, a God attested by creation to be majestic, wonderful, excellent, and strong, as the psalmist teaches in Psalm 8. When we understand how great our God is and how big he is, all we will be able to do is stand in awe of him when we consider the works of his fingers. But also realizing how small we are in comparison will change our worship too, won't it? There will be no room for pride when we assemble together, but we will humbly bow our hearts and worship to our Creator, because he is worthy of that. When we worship, understanding how big and awesome our Creator is, knowing that he loves us, we will sing and teach and evangelize with a new, renewed joy and thanksgiving, because as the psalmist says, our God, despite our size, is mindful of us. Coming to the assembly will not be a routine. It will not be checking off the box, but it will be worship to the Almighty God. We, as the psalmist, will be able to sing, "You, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." It will change our worship. But lastly, it will change our obedience towards the commandments of God. Knowing how powerful, how big he is should impact us and put us in fear of the Lord. As the Ecclesiastes writer says in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, the conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. When we understand who God is in comparison to ourselves, we will pay better attention to his words, because we are in fear and reverence of the God who created everything. That should motivate us to not allow our wants, our desires, become greater than his. We need to appreciate that God in his love for us has given us glory and majesty in creation, but we should never abuse the liberty that God has given us when he has exalted us. So we will follow his commandments because we are in fear of him, but also we'll want to follow his commandments because we see the love that he's shown us. Knowing the price he's paid despite our sins should motivate us to strive to better follow his commandments, to be pierced to the heart because the Creator died and shed his blood so that we can be with him in heaven one day, and so we will be obedient towards his words. Can we let those realizations impact every facet of our life, to realize that God is big, that we are small, but despite that, he loves us and is mindful of us. Can we read Psalm chapter 8 together one last time as we bring this lesson to a close? Psalm chapter 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you've established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God. You crown him with glory and majesty. You make him rule over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Would you pray with me? God, we come before you at the close of this service, hearing the thunder and the rain, thinking about your creation, the stars and the moon, and it hits us, God, how powerful, how big, how far-reaching you are. Lord, help us to be mindful and consider these things. Help us to realize that as we go through the storms of life, through trials, and just through every day, Lord, to remember how big you are and how small we are, but yet you care for us and you are mindful of us. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you, Lord, for your care, for the authority you've given us here on this earth. We ask that you help us to remember that. Help us to remember the sacrifice of Jesus, to remember that you are mindful of us, the speck in the universe, when we are feeling unloved and unwanted and insignificant, that you have given us those things. We pray all this through your Son's name, or your Son Jesus' name. Amen. We're dismissed.